This morning we're going to talk about Solomon. I told you I wanted to talk about the first three kings of Israel, and when we're done talking about the kings, and I want to bring a message, kind of a comparative message, so hopefully this will all come together at that time, is why we're doing this. Solomon grew up privileged. He was a prince. He was one of the sons of the king, so he grew up in the palace. He lived a privileged life. I doubt he ever had to go without. Probably wore the best clothes and ate the best food. Not saying that as a slam, but he grew up a little different than his dad. His dad was a shepherd, son of a farmer. Saul's dad was a rich man, but in those days, just because dad was rich didn't necessarily mean the kids were rich. It depended on who mom and dad was going to bless and who they weren't. But Solomon did grow up in a privileged household. He was in line for king, but he probably did not expect to become king. Most of the time that passed to the eldest. In today's text, we're going to see how God set Solomon up to be king. This prayer of Solomon is one we talk about models. I'm really impressed when I studied this prayer this week, the mindset that this man had. All leaders need to have this guy's mindset when he started out. Our text is in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Before we go to the text, very quickly I want to tell you that David was old, and he had not yet announced who would succeed him. And I told you, I think last week, that his son Adoniah and the commander of his army Joab and a priest named Abiathar took Adoniah and proclaimed him king. And Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, came to David and she said, "Did you make Adoniah king and not tell us?" And David said, "No." David had no idea what was going on. Nathan the prophet came in and asked him the same question. He said, "Did you make Adoniah the king without telling any of us?" And David said, "No." So he had Nathan and Abiathar and a man named Benaiah take Solomon and put him on his mule. He said, "Take him to Gihon, anoint him." The prophet would anoint him with the oil. "My bodyguards will escort you back to Jerusalem. Solomon is to take the throne." And he said, "When he gets on the throne, you yell, 'Long live the king.'" Well, the people heard the rejoicing, and Joab, Abiathar, and Adoniah, the king, so they were afraid. They realized they'd acted presumptuously. This was a very foolish move on their parts and very dangerous, especially in this culture. So this morning we're going to talk about Saul became king. That was by his dad's appointment. And I want to, before I begin the text, I want to read David's charge to his son. It said, "When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, 'I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel.'" Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that we who were not a people are now the people of God. We who were not loved, we who were not included in the covenant, are now your covenant people, and that we are beloved. I thank you for the witness that you have left of your word, the lessons that we need to pull from this. Father, I just pray that you open our eyes today, help us to understand this. I pray especially if someone in here is struggling with decisions that need to be made or maybe a particular decision, Lord God, that you would give them guidance and direction, because you want us to do what you want us to do, Lord, and not what we think you want us to do. I just pray that your name will be glorified today, Father, and that Holy Spirit, you will take over and bring this text to God's people. I ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now I'll get to the text. 1 Kings 3, 1 through 15. It says, Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places, however, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was one of the great high places. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and uprightness of heart. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go in, go out, or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people. You have chosen a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding, to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I will give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for his servants. I said in the introduction that Solomon, to me, this was a model prayer for a leader. Solomon found himself the king, and the first thing he did was set about to establish his kingdom. If you remember, David fought a lot of wars when he was king. He had a lot of enemies attacked, had 2 civil wars, and Solomon takes over this kingdom, and I'm sure in one sense he's wondering about the stability of it. He's inheriting this kingdom from his dad. And the Bible says that he married Pharaoh's daughter. Now, that was against the law of Moses. God had told the Jews they were not to marry outside the faith. It had nothing to do with race. I've heard people try to teach this and say it was racial purity. It didn't have a thing to do with racial purity. It had a thing to do with worship. And God said, "You marry these people, who are outside of the faith, and you're going to be seduced to follow their gods, and then I will judge you. But politically, this was a good move for Solomon. I say that because David had fought with the Philistines, the Ammonites. Like I said, he'd had two civil wars. There were people that weren't happy about him becoming king, and they attacked. And God gave David the victory every single time. And now imagine if you're new king, you're going to have to set about to establish your throne. And one thing these people respected was courage and strength. So Solomon married the Pharaoh's daughter, which wasn't the wisest thing to me to do, but I understand why he did it. He executed Adonijah and Joab for their treason. That may sound a little harsh, but if you read David's farewell address to Solomon, it almost sounds like a scene from The Godfather. David names three men and he said, "You shouldn't let them go to the grave in peace." David said, "I didn't do anything to them." You know, and they had all turned against him. And he said, "But you shouldn't let them go to the grave in peace." First time I read that, I thought, some man of God. I mean, basically he said, "You need to take care of them guys." And David knew that if Solomon didn't, Solomon would have to deal with later. They'd already attempted a coup and an overthrow. So the king gave him some good advice, political advice. He said, "Don't let these guys live." He knew, or Solomon knew, that God had made him king and had blessed his father because of his father's righteousness, his father's following him. He was still a little unsure about his kingdom, about what was going to happen. If you remember, it said he, after he married the Pharaoh's daughter, he began to build a wall around Jerusalem. He began to build his own place. And the Bible said that Solomon loved the Lord. Now, that's one of the best qualifications for a leader that I can think of. David had told Solomon, "You keep following the Lord." That's the best advice a father could give a son. You walk with God. Even better than that is if dad walks with God and leaves that son an example to follow. You know, too many times, dads, we talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. Now, I'm as guilty as anybody else. I can look back now and see where I talked the talk, but I wasn't walking the walk. And David had walked the walk. Other than the incident with Bathsheba, David followed God with all of his heart. And as he's dying, he tells his son, "You follow the Lord. That's how you're going to establish his kingdom. You follow God." Now it said, Solomon sought God. He went up to Gibeon to the high place to offer sacrifices. That was against the law of Moses. So we don't, in my opinion, I don't see Solomon starting off just perfect. They don't know where the tabernacle was. I tried researching this, and you remember Moses built a tabernacle, and that's where they were offered their sacrifices. When David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, when he became king, it said he pitched a tent for it. And I looked, and they said, "We don't really know what happened to the tabernacle." Some say when Solomon built the temple, it was finally taken down and put away, but the implication is it's not up. Or they're just choosing not to go there. But Solomon was seeking after God. Wise thing for any kind of a leader. You know, we talk about church growth and we want to grow the church and we want ideas and those are all good things. We need that. We need the input. But what's wrong with us praying? The body of Christ seeking the Lord and say, "What do you want us to do?" Too often, church, we go, "Well, here's our plans, God bless it." And the Lord can look at that and say, "That's not at all what I intend. That's not at all what I have in mind." I think of Jesus, the miracles he did and the things that he taught, and the people got very offended at him. And his answer was, "I only do what I see the Father doing. I only preach to you what he tells me to preach. Jesus said, I look to see where he's working and I just follow suit. That's what we need to do in the church, church. I'm not against planning. Don't get me wrong. I want to hear your input. What do you think we can do to help grow? But unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain, the scriptures say. So Solomon is now the most powerful man in Israel. And the first thing he does after he works out some of this political alliance, he goes to God. Said he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. I don't know that God was impressed with 1,000 burnt offerings, but the fact is he went to worship. Solomon sought God out. I believe that because it said that the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, what do you want me to do for you? How'd you like God to do that? If God showed up in a dream or showed up at your house or spoke to you in a voice and you knew it was him, and he'd say, what do you want me to do? We'd have to be careful. I'd have to be careful. Man, what do I want you to do for me? Ooh. Solomon could have said, I'm scared about my enemies. How about guaranteeing me victory? You know, we need more money, God. We need a bigger treasury. We need more resources. He could have named a number of things, but what did he say? I don't know how to do this. There's another mark of a good leader to me. Somebody that will humbly say to God, I don't know what I'm doing. And I know that we like leaders, we like to have the feeling they know what they're doing, they got a plan. But Solomon, in this position, he said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Now what he did in his prayer was when God said, what do you want? Solomon immediately thanked him. He didn't start out saying, I want, I need, this is what I want. He started thanking God. He said, you showed great kindness to my father. You established his throne, and now you've put me on the throne. You know, Paul said that we should make our prayers and supplications to God with thanksgiving. I'm guilty of not always doing that. I catch myself a lot of times, oh God, I need. Oh God, hear my prayer. Oh Father, please do this. And when I was studying this through the week, I thought, I'm sorry. I did. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I must sound like a spoiled brat kid. I want, I want, I want. Me, me, me. Solomon didn't do that. The Lord said, what can I do for you, Solomon? He said, first, I want to thank you. You were very kind to my dad. You stayed true to my dad. My dad was true to you. You were true to him. And he said, now you've placed me here. He offered thanksgiving instead of his request at first. Think about that with your children. Those of you that still have young children. Do you like it if every time they come to you and open their mouth, you know they're going to ask you for something? Or complain? Am I the only one that had kids like that? I'm serious. So-and-so's got this. We want it. I'm not so-and-so's dad. I'm your dad. Like it or leave it. You're going to get what I give you. You're going to eat what I put on the table. You're going to wear the clothes I give you. I don't care if they're designer clothes. And you always had the invisible persecutors. Everybody will laugh. Well, who's everybody? Just everybody. You know, well, name some of the... No, I can't name them, but everybody's going to laugh. Everybody's going to point at me. Everybody's going to say, I don't care what everybody thinks. You shouldn't either. It was nice once in a while for your kids to come and say, I really appreciate what you're doing, Dad. Thank you. And as I said when I was studying this passage, I had to say, God, forgive me. There's so many times I come to you with my list of wants and needs, and I don't stop to thank you. And when I was thinking about that, I got to thinking about all the things he has done in my life. And he's still doing in my life. How many of you know that salvation, that's not where it ends? And sometimes we hear it preached like that. Well, as long as you're born again, knowing you're going to heaven, praise God. No, that's the very beginning of your walk with Christ, salvation. I heard somebody mention being molded into God's image, being molded into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. Yeah, that's what God wants to do. Now, Solomon began thanking God. And I don't think this was phony. He just, when he had God's ear, he said, well, first, I'd like to thank you. You have done all these wonderful things in my life, and I really do appreciate it. Then he humbled himself. He said, you've made me the king, but he said, I'm just a child. Now, we don't know how old Solomon was when David died. You could probably do the genealogy study and figure out about how old Solomon might have been. But Solomon, in his own estimation, he said, God, I don't have a clue. And as a leader, he wasn't asking on just on his behalf. He was asking for God's people. These people are depending on me. I'm supposed to lead your people. I got to make decisions that's going to affect this whole nation. God, give me wisdom. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will not upbraid you or find fault with you, and he will give it to you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea tossed back and forth, back and forth. He said, don't let that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Now, I'm not standing here saying if you ask God for wisdom, he's going to make you as wise as Solomon, because he said to Solomon, nobody will have this wisdom again but you. Now, we know our Lord Jesus Christ was a lot wiser than Solomon. But to me, that would be silly for me to say, oh, God, make me as smart as Solomon. Now, look what he's got to work with. I think the Lord would say, well, son, I can do all things, but no. But Solomon's heart wasn't just for Solomon, it was for the people. That's a leader. You show me somebody that wants to teach or wants to lead, and their heart is not for their students, and it's not for the people they're leading, I'll show you someone that has no place being a leader. It's all about them. Those are dangerous people. Solomon didn't have that heart. It said he loved the Lord. And you know, one of the proofs was in the prayer, he said, I love your people. And God, I'm responsible. These are your people. I'm responsible for these people. You're going to have to show me what to do. And I said, it pleased the Lord. You know, God wants his people to be wise. Solomon wrote 3,000 Proverbs. You ever read them? Pretty sharp tool. Solomon's a pretty sharp cookie. Now, later he marries 700 wives and 300 concubines, and I have to question his wisdom. When I read that, I thought, something happened, dude. But I understand most of it was political alliances. He was trying to build his power. But when you read the Proverbs of Solomon, that guy was wise. In fact, people, it said, from all over the nations just came to hear him talk. People traveled for miles just to sit and listen to him teach. Wow, I'd like to have been there. Yeah, I'd like to sit there and heard what he had to say. So when God pressed him and said, what do you want me to do for you? Solomon searched out his heart and he said, this is what I need. He didn't say, this is what I want. He said, this is what I need. I got to have wisdom. These are your people. I need to lead your people. I'm going to be responsible. They're going to look to me. The decisions I make will affect this whole nation. And God, I don't know what I'm doing. And God said, you got it. What else did he say? Since you didn't ask for riches, you got riches. Since you didn't ask for power, you got power. Since you didn't ask for your enemies' lives, I'm giving you all that. Do you know there was no war in Israel the whole time Solomon was king? He was able to build the wall at Jerusalem. He was able to do great building projects because there was no wars. The kings of the earth didn't attack him. the kings of the nations. They didn't come after him. Who do you think did that? God, yeah. God said, you boys back off and leave him alone. I've put this hedge around him. It surprised me one day. Please don't think I'm getting off track. But I was thinking about, you know, the Lord tells us we can ask for things. And I'm like you, I've heard that blown way out of proportion by the gurus. One day I was reading, and Jesus said, how much will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Wait a minute. I was told when I was a kid that when I came to Christ and was baptized into Christ, I got all the Holy Spirit I was going to get. Jesus didn't say that. He said, ask for him. I know that freaks you out. Oh my gosh. He's going to start talking about tongues and flopping around like a chicken with your head cut off, and we just don't believe in that. I'm not talking about that at all. Jesus told his disciples, it's needful for you that I go away, because when I do go away, I'm sending the Spirit. And church, you don't have to accept this. I know some of you have probably turned this off. That's fine. But I think it's sad in the church of God when we say, don't want it, don't need it, don't believe in it. And Jesus said, he'll give them to you if you ask. Do you think God still gives wisdom? Mm-hmm. This means yes and this means no. I mean, I've heard for years all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are gone. You know, well, if they're gone, the Holy Spirit's gone. That's my opinion. You can't put God in a box. Amen. Right. Now, have I seen him abused? I was in a Pentecostal church for 3 years. I saw him abused in spades. I've seen phony things done in the name of Jesus. I'm not advocating that we have to start having spiritual gifts here manifested. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13? I show unto you a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongue of men and angels and have not love, all I'm doing is making noise. If I have the gift of prophecies and I can explain all mysteries and have not love, it doesn't mean a thing. The manifestation of the Spirit of God is love, church. Being filled with the love of God. And boy, we need that in the church today. We live in a society that is so egocentric, self-absorbed. It's all about me. To heck with everybody else. And the church is getting the same way. A lot of churches are. You listen to the teaching and preaching. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's not about me. It's about glorifying Jesus Christ. It's about bringing the lost to know Jesus Christ. And we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said he will give him to you if you ask. I won't charge you for that. I know I got sidetracked a little. So Solomon asked for wisdom, and God said, I'm going to give you wisdom. He promised Solomon, I'm going to give you discernment to know right from wrong. I'm going to give you the knowledge to know how to be king. In short, God was saying, you want to know me, son? I'm going to reveal myself to you. How many, don't raise your hand, but this is rhetorical. How many of you really want to know God? Think about that. How well do I want to know him? Now, he's inexhaustible. I think in heaven there'll be so much rejoicing because all through eternity we won't be able to understand him completely. I believe that. There'll just be things we'll learn as we go. Be more and more revealing. Be more and more praise. How many of us can say with the Apostle Paul, I want to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection? Yes. And I also want to partake in his sufferings. Nope, you lost me there. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. Yes and so be it. But they come with a price. They come with a price, church. Remember what the Lord said? If they hated me, they're going to hate you. Well, we shouldn't run around trying to be making friends with the world. Those who want to be the world's friend are God's enemies. You know, there's so many gospels being preached today, social gospels, cultural gospels. You know, they just add all these names to it that are not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was so impressed with Solomon's prayer. It was so honest and simple to me and so humble. He said, I don't know what I'm doing. I need you to give me wisdom. And the Lord said, I'm going to give it to you. And the proof to me that he did was, I said, when Solomon woke up, he realized he'd been dreaming. What'd he do? He went back before the Ark of the Covenant and offered his sacrifices. Solomon realized, I'm in the wrong place. Why did they go to the high places? Well, the thought was, the higher up you get, the closer you got to be to God. You'll get his attention. And Solomon went to the highest point. Gibeon was the highest point of that area. And he said, well, I'm going to get up here and offer 1,000 burnt offerings. If anybody's going to get God's attention, I will. And after this conversation, he went back to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God. Solomon said, I don't have to go up way up on a mountain to meet God. He's right here. You talk about a guy starting out with the right intention, the right heart, the right attitude. Solomon was the man, in my opinion. I'm a leader. I ran for that for years. I didn't want to be the leader. I was the oldest child, and my mother used to say, your brothers and sisters watch you, so you need to set an example. And my attitude was, I'm not asking anybody to watch me and follow me. I do what I do. They can do what they do. And she said, it doesn't work that way. Well, when I came to Christ and the Lord started dealing with me about ministry, I had the same attitude. Got, nope, don't want it. I know what your word says. I'll be judged with a harsher judgment than other people. Don't want it, God. Find somebody else. But here I am. Some people call me pastor. Some call me minister. Okay. And I hope you can believe, I'm not bragging on myself. I pray and say, God, these are your people, not mine. I'm a sub-shepherd. Please show me how to lead. For me, if I stand before Jesus Christ on the day of judgment and he looks at me and says, depart from me, what's going to be worse to me than that is if I see a group of people that's been walking behind me and he says, you too. You followed this guy and he wasn't teaching the truth. The Bible says the elders will give account for the spiritual condition of the church. We have to give an account for that. That's a big responsibility, church. And if you're an elder, if you're a teacher, you better be seeking God and saying, I need to hear from you. You give me the wisdom. You guide me. I told my wife a while back, I'm either being led by the Holy Spirit or I'm in a lot of trouble. And that's just how I feel. Either the Spirit of God's leading me or I'm in a lot of trouble. I'm getting so far out in right field. I serve a mighty God. And I serve a holy God. And I serve a God that doesn't lie. I serve a God that doesn't change. I serve a God that the scriptures say he wants to mold me into the image of his son. And he wants to mold you into the image of his son. That's my goal as a teacher, to make disciples for Jesus Christ, not for Rick Johnson. I want to assist each and every person in here as much as I can with your walk with Christ. And when I screw up, don't be too hard on him because it's me. If I screw up, don't blame the Lord for that. It's me. I'm like you. I'm a work in progress. I told you before, there's been times I felt like if I was God, I'd have quit on me. But I'm so glad he's not that kind of a God. Solomon started out on the right foot, in the sense that when God said, "What can I do for you?" he said, "I gotta have wisdom, God. I have to have it." None of the other stuff mattered to him. The book of Hosea says it's time for us to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon us. It's time to break up our fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that's been plowed and it's got hard. It hadn't been dissed, it hadn't been harrowed, it hadn't been tilled under, and it won't take seed. You can throw seed on fallow ground, the birds will eat it, Jesus said, because of the hardness of the ground. I think that's the message for the church today. And I'm not saying this in a derogatory way. I think God's saying to his people today, break up your fallow ground. Break up your hard hearts. Receive what I have for you. Would you stand with me this morning? If you're here this morning and you've never called out on the name of the Lord, and you say, "I've never made that commitment. I've never cried out to God and asked for his mercy, asked to forgive me." He's really wanting to do that. He's more than willing to do that. He wants to do that. That's why Jesus Christ came. You want to change kingdoms? If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're in the kingdom of Satan. You're in the kingdom of darkness. And God wants to pluck you up by the roots and transplant you into the kingdom of his Son. That's a good trade. As that guy said on Dancing with Wolves, good trade. Yeah. I invite you to do that. If you need to talk about it, come talk to me. Or talk to one of the other elders here. Or talk to somebody you trust. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking into McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. I've just got to be plain and simple about that. If you're struggling today with decisions in your own life, why not do what Solomon did, what James told us we can do? Go to God and say, "I need wisdom," but ask in faith. Don't go to him and say, "Well, I need wisdom, but I know God's not going to give me wisdom because God never listens to me. You know, he doesn't do anything I ask." Then don't do it. But go and ask him. That's the first thing I prayed for when I got saved, when I started reading the Bible. I started out reading the book of James. Then I went into the Gospel of John. And I said, "Boy, God, if anybody needs wisdom, here I is." Praise God, what a good God we have. I want to start opening up, again, offers for church membership here. In this church, all we ask is, are you an immersed believer in Jesus Christ, baptized by immersion? If you think you would like to place membership in this church sometime, come and talk to me or one of the elders. We can go over things with you. That's about all we ask people. Are you an immersed believer in Jesus Christ? You know, we're not going to try to dig into your past or anything. That's what we care. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized by immersion? That's what this church believes, the kind of baptism we're commanded to be baptized with. But if you take an interest, some of you have been coming here a while and you think, "You know, I wouldn't mind place membership," come talk to us about it. We'd love to have you. Church membership is very important, church. If there's anything you need to talk about, come see me after the service. I always try to hang around, be one of the last to leave. I'll be glad to visit with you. Wayne or Donnie, Greg. There's several people here that you could go talk to. Just don't walk out of here and say, "Well, I didn't get anything out of that," or "It's too late for me." Satan told me that lie for years. "It's too late for you. God doesn't want anything to do with a guy like you." Bless God, I'm the kind of people he came to save. I'm the kind of people God came to save. Yup. Whoever has our closing prayer, would they please offer it for us?